You are now standing at the corner of De La Visitation Street and René Lévesque Boulevard in Montreal's Centre-Sud neighborhood, characterized by the imposing Société Radio-Canada Tower on the opposite side of René Lévesque. This part of the city, located between Saint-Denis, Sherbrooke, and Papineau Streets and René Lévesque Boulevard, is officially known as Montreal's Gay Village. In the early 19th century, the neighborhood sat to the east of the city fortifications. It was populated primarily by French-Canadian families having relocated from rural areas and Irish immigrants who had abandoned home and country in search of a better life. They settled near the major employers, including Molson's Breweries, McDonald Tobacco, and the Port of Montreal. They lived in modest rentals, two- or three-story buildings like those still found north of René Lévesque Boulevard today. High demographic growth made living conditions in the neighborhood increasingly difficult. Many people were out of work, jobs were scarce, and wages rarely adequate to meet family needs. Officially known as the Faubourg Québec, because the road to Quebec ran through it, the area was quickly dubbed the Faubourg Amelas, molasses suburb, in reference to the residents who went out on the docks to scrape up molasses spilled from barrels unloaded off ships in the port. Until 1865, the city of Montreal was composed of a single parish, governed by the Sulpicians, and a single church, Notre-Dame. Despite the high concentration of people in that part of the city, there were no chapels or services in the Faubourg Québec. Residents had to travel to Notre-Dame, some 2 kilometers away, for baptisms, weddings, funerals, and other religious services, often under difficult conditions. This was a time of high infant mortality. Newborns were baptized within a few hours of birth, so their souls would not be lost in limbo if they died. Imagine the hardship for a family having to travel to Notre Dame in the wee hours of the morning in the dead of winter to have their newborn infant, who might not even survive the trip, baptized. Monseigneur Ignace Bourget, second bishop of Montreal, who served from 1840 to 1876, was moved by the marginalization and misery of the people of the Faubourg Québec. In 1841, following an important meeting in Marseille with the founder of the Missionary Oblates of Mary Immaculate, Monseigneur Eugène de Mazenod, Monseigneur Bourget invited a small group of oblates to settle in the Faubourg Québec. For a better view of what is to come, we invite you to focus on the buildings neighboring the church. In 1848, Pierre Baudry, landowner, butcher by profession, and benefactor, bequeathed 4 lots of land to Monseigneur Bourget. That same year, the temporary wooden chapel of Saint-Pierre was built, honoring the memory of its benefactor. The oblates quickly became very popular, and following their arrival, attendance at services grew to the point where the chapel could no longer contain its flock. It was then decided that a church would be built in its place, despite reservations on the part of the Sulpicians. The church's design was entrusted to Victor Bourgeot, already known for his efficient, reasonably priced, and refined work. The Church of Saint-Pierre-Apôtre was Bourgeot's first mandate as an architect. Under construction from 1851 to 1853, this neo-Gothic sanctuary would become the pride of the Bourgeois, a name assumed by neighborhood residents to confirm their status as full citizens in response to contemptuous treatment from people residing within the city limits. After years of being ignored, the Bourgeois became actively involved in building this majestic church at the heart of their very modest suburb. On June 23, 1851, an article in the newspaper La Minerve already described the site in glowing terms. "The plans for this Gothic-style church are in the best taste and of rather significant proportions, promising both this interesting suburb and the city itself one of the most remarkable monuments in the province. They are the work of a somewhat well-known Canadian architect, who is also overseeing their overall execution. The work is sufficiently advanced to raise considerable expectations and satisfy requirements of taste." The generosity of local residents, proud of having such a church erected in their neighborhood, was equaled only by that of the oblates, who struggle through various crises to meet the spiritual, social, and community needs of the Saint-Pierre by providing appropriate services. In that respect, one of their most difficult constraints was not having access to the financial security the title of parish would have afforded them. It was not until 1866 that Monseigneur Bourget obtained authorization from the Vatican to divide the parish of Notre Dame, which was until that point the only parish in the city. In compensation for their lost monopoly, the Sulpicians were given first choice of a new parish. Having already erected a chapel two streets each of the Church of Saint-Pierre, they decided to build their new parish there and the Church of Sainte-Brigide de Kildare. The parish encompassed the territory of the Saint-Pierre neighborhood, forcing Saint-Pierre residents to help finance the parish of Sainte-Brigide. This explains the unusual proximity of the two Catholic church towers, Saint-Pierre-Apôtre, a conventual place of worship, and Sainte-Brigide de Kildare, a parish known within the area for its Anglophone of Irish descent and Francophone communities. The people of Saint-Pierre did not officially get their parish until 1901, when the Sulpicians, overwhelmed by the needs of the population, decided to give up a section of their parish to form a new one for the Oblates. The missionaries thereby became legally responsible for a tiny, overpopulated quadrangle. Still today, following a second legacy of land in 1904, the limits of the smallest parish in Montreal remain unchanged. It extends between Saint-André Street, the Maisonneuve Boulevard, Panay Street, and the Port of Montréal. Despite everything, the people of Saint-Pierre, in cooperation with the Oblates and large French-Canadian bourgeois families, including that of Sir George Etienne Cartier, managed to turn Saint-Pierre-Apôtre into a beautiful parish. In time, a number of families settled there permanently and prospered. They consisted primarily of small shop owners and became people of note in the community. Most often, they led the lay congregations such as the Dame de Saint-Anne, the Enfants de Marie, and the Temperance Society. They were responsible for collecting donations, holding bazaars, enriching the church and liturgical life, such as parish processions, the choir, and other recreational activities of the parish. These activities, along with tithes and other donations, enabled the Saint-Pierre parishioners to enrich their religious heritage. Please select stop number 3 to learn more about major upheavals that affected life in the neighborhood.